If you could turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Now, as we're finding our seats, the subject this morning is we're talking about wisdom. And particularly the subject that I've been given this morning is Jesus Christ, the personification of wisdom. And we want to keep that before us as we share this morning, because everything that we need to know regarding wisdom, or everything that is wisdom, is Jesus Christ. Can we say that? Wisdom is Jesus Christ. Wisdom is Jesus Christ. In Proverbs chapter 3, we'll get to this subject here. It says this in verse 13. It says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gets understanding." Happy is the man who finds wisdom. And in Proverbs chapter 24, if you've got your Bibles, in verse 13 and 14, let's read together. "My son, eat honey, for it is good. And the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such for your soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off." Hallelujah. And then in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, it begins and it says, "Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Wisdom is Jesus Christ. But we need to just unwrap this a little bit, and there's a little bit of an outline on the back of your bulletins if you want to follow along, and I will try to stay within this outline too. But we want to ask the question right from the very start, what is wisdom? See, because wisdom is much more than knowledge and understanding. If we want to put a definition to wisdom is how to live. It's how to live. It's more than just experience. And wisdom is gained when the events of life, those things that we go through, are combined with a range of knowledge and understanding, which brings an insight that somehow is beyond our human limitations. Wisdom is available to us when the relevant values and the truths are applied to shape the decision-making for both the present and the future. Those choices that we have to make. When we take what we have and apply them to the decision making for the now and what is to come. Those of you that are teachers here, Marg and Bob and others, know that when we look at the area of education, it involves academic and intellectual development towards the getting not only of knowledge and understanding, because if that's where we left it, we would fall short, but it's of wisdom, how to live. And the greatest joy, having been a teacher for a little bit over in Africa, is to see the fulfillment of someone leaving high school with a desire to get more. And not saying, no more teachers, no more books, no more pencils, no more, what's that to go? No more pencils, no more books, no more teachers, dirty looks, something like that. But see, I want you to see that wisdom is more than knowledge and understanding. There's a Japanese proverb that goes like this: knowledge without wisdom is like a pile of books on an ass's back. He said a bad word. But think about that. It's like having all the books that are written sitting on the back of a donkey. It does absolutely no good. So what is wisdom? We've already said that wisdom is the know-how. Wisdom is knowing how to apply and to use your knowledge in the right way. Wisdom is how to work with the grain rather than against the grain. For instance, If you're in a profession, in any profession or any job or any skill or any career that we have, there are right ways to do things and there are wrong ways to do things. If an electrician, is there any electricians here? Some of you, I know, work in electricity. But listen, if an electrician does not disconnect the power before he deals with the live cables and the live wires, what's going to happen? He's going to be dead. He's going to get killed. If a pilot disregards the safety procedures, he endangers both his and other lives. There are principles in life which can help us to go with the grain of life rather than fighting against the grain all the time. And those who are carpenters know that it's much easier to go with the grain than to try and fight against and try to get something. I mean, that's what I do. That's why I'm not a carpenter. See, knowledge without wisdom means one is only partially equipped. See, to know the theory of how to drive is not the same as driving. And we can, you know, so often that's what happens. The kids go and get the theory, and then they say, ah, man, I'm behind the wheel now. I know how to do this. Rum, rum, and everywhere. It's not the same thing. We need to apply our theory, and usually we need an instructor to do it. We earn money, but we need an advisor at times to give us the benefit of their experience and their wisdom in order to make the most out of our finance. And there are some, and there are rather, actually, there are many who believe that if we teach our kids the knowledge of the dangers of smoking, the knowledge of the dangers of drugs or unprotected sex or anything, that they will be somehow equipped. But while instruction and knowledge is important, it will not prevent abuse. And human nature is that for the majority of us, whenever we are told not to do something, we do it. It's the worst thing is, son, don't do that. Uh-oh, now we got trouble. See, unless we give our kids, and unless we give those that we work with a taste for wisdom, how to live rightly through vision and purpose so that they steer clear of such abuses, they will experiment and they will pay the penalty. And so we need to find what wisdom is because we need to get it in order to pass it on and to share it and to live with wisdom. Now, part of wisdom is also understanding that we are all uniquely gifted with certain abilities and motivations. And this is because we believe that we are created beings who all carry some portion or the image of God's, carry aspects of God's image. See, wisdom has little to do with the educational establishment's methods of assessing intelligence. And such tests, we all go through tests. Boss just did tests this week. And the government has sent out a questionnaire and the whole thing of testing to try gauge the value of where kids are at. And they will assess some measure of intelligence. And while such tests have some limited value, they cannot recognize the uniquely gifted way that people are made. I'm just experiencing it all over again with an 8-year-old. He hates tests. And there's a few others. But see, if we just limit it to intelligence, we may miss something very critical, even in our children, who need to find their element, who need to, find their area of giftedness. Winston Churchill is a prime example. He failed consistently at school, but in later life found his motivational gift of creative wisdom and courageous leadership, and history, it stands there, an international hero. But then we ask the question, and here's the question I pose to you. Isn't wisdom all to do with experience and science? And thank you, somebody said no. You got the right answer. See, experience can give us some measure of wisdom. Although the problem with experience, it may also make us too hesitant to try things again. We experience and we fail, so we say, wow, that's it. I can't do that anymore. But that's so often what experience gives us. Thomas Edison, the inventor, he failed hundreds of times before he succeeded in inventing the light bulb. And here's what he said. He said, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. And accordingly, a genius is often merely a talented person who has done all of his or her homework. They've been willing to work at it. So experience it's not going to give us everything. What about maturity? See, maturity can provide some aspects of wisdom, but it may also make us too cautious to try new ideas. And this is the dilemma as I get older and as we get older. We have the maturity and it's good, but we become cautious. Well, golly, I don't know if that's going to work. And then we can say that consequential thinking, you know what that is? Thinking about what the consequences are of our actions. We can say consequential thinking can be a key aspect of wisdom. See, we need the ability to perceive the likely consequences of the decisions we make or the actions we do. But if we remain limited to human understanding, we may miss the very creative solutions that God wants to give us. And we look at science, and we look at all of those things. See, the wisdom of the wise and the understanding has produced remarkable scientific advances. But it leaves out the most important reality, namely God. See, from one side, it's stunning. When we look at what's happened, I mean, even in my lifetime, where we've come from and where we are now, all I have to do is, I don't have it here, is look at my iPhone. I mean, I didn't really realize that people didn't use VHS tapes anymore. Well, I did, but I had forgotten. But see, though it's stunning in its achievements, but from the other side, it's also stunning for its stupidity. And it's missing the main thing. The main thing. God. Because wisdom is available when the right values and the right truths are applied to shape the decision making for our present, our here and now, and our future. And the point of my message this morning, as we share, is that we need to get wisdom. Can you turn to your neighbor and just say, get wisdom? It's okay, raise a finger. Get wisdom. Now, wives, you don't need to do that with so much authority or so much. But see, we need to channel everything we have and all of our efforts into becoming wiser tomorrow than we are today. Amen. And that doesn't matter how old you are. I get so excited. She was 87 years old in Kenya. And she went back to university to get her degree. And someone asked her, she said, why are you doing this? They says, well, I don't know everything yet. See, that we would continually move forward to get wisdom. Because wisdom is a lifelong process of growth. So what is wisdom? What are the characteristics of the person who has it? The first characteristic you all know, and it's found in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. See, wisdom that leads to life, a life and ultimate joy, begins with knowing and fearing God. What does fearing the Lord mean? Is it, God, don't do that? That isn't what fearing the Lord means. When we fear the Lord, it means fearing to run away from Him. It means fearing to seek refuge, joy, hope, or any other thing anywhere other than in God. That's what fearing the Lord means. It means keeping before our eyes what a fearful prospect it is if we stop trusting and depending on God to meet our every need. That's called independence. Another word for independence is stupidity. I've been there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not only in the sense that it's the first step in a wise way to live, but also in the sense that if you grab this and if you understand this, the later characteristics of wisdom will flow out of the fear of the Lord, just like a river flows out of a spring. It's the fear of the Lord. For example, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. We're looking a lot at Proverbs, but don't worry, we'll get to Jesus, okay? Here's what it says. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble, there is wisdom. See, the wise person is characterized by humility. The person who is proud, he doesn't fear the Lord, because the Lord hates a haughty spirit. It says he hates that kind of spirit. And therefore, you can't get to first base in wisdom if you're walking around in pride saying, I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. I know it, and if I don't know it, I'll find it out myself. That's a haughty spirit. But the person who fears the Lord is humble because he depends on God for everything. And he fears to take credit for himself for what God does. And so we can say that humility is foundational for godly wisdom, because humility is teachable. Humility is open to change. Humility is open to growth. But the humble person, see, the proud person, he doesn't like to admit his errors. He doesn't like, in reality, he doesn't want to grow. But the humble person is open to counsel. He's open to reason. He's ready to be corrected. And he's ready to follow truth. Humility, unlike pride, doesn't push back. It doesn't recoil when commanded to do something. See, here's a test. Just think in your own lives. When someone comes and challenges you, how do you respond? Because that's the test of whether you're humble or you're proud. It's essential for the advancement of wisdom. See, because Moses taught us that wisdom consists in knowing and doing the commandments of God. And we only need to look through Scripture and says, if you obey, if you disobey, that's sort of how, that's the new translation. But see, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6 says this, behold, I have taught you statutes and ordinances as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do them. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom. This is Moses talking. He says, keep them and do them, because that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples. And Jesus said exactly the same thing. Because here's what he said in Matthew chapter 7. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Wise means you've got wisdom. A good definition of godly wisdom would be hearing and doing God's word. But the only people who will do this are the people who are humbly relying on God for help and who fear to seek happiness and joy or fulfillment anywhere but in Him. Therefore, the fear of the Lord is the beginning and the spring of all true wisdom. But something more has to be said about this nature of wisdom. It's not enough to say that humble hearing And the Word of God and doing the God's Word will give you wisdom. Because God's Word doesn't address everything specifically to every human dilemma. And one example you already know, Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 3, here's the story. One day two prostitutes came to King Solomon. One of them said, "My Lord, this woman I live with in the same house, we gave birth to a son. Each gave birth to a son last week. And one night while she was asleep, she rolled over on her son and smothered it. So she got up at midnight, took my living son from me while I slept, and left me with her dead son. When I woke in the morning and looked closely, I could tell it was not my son. But the other woman said, 'No, the living child is mine, and the dead child is yours.' And so they argued before the king. Then the king said, 'You both say the living child is yours. I will settle the matter. Bring me a sword.' So the sword was brought, and the king said, 'Divide the living child in two, and give half to one woman, and give half to the other.' But the woman whose son was alive yearned for her son and said, 'No, my lord, give her the child and by no means slay it.' And the other said, 'It shall be neither mine nor yours, divide it.' Then the king said, 'Give the living child to the first woman. She is its mother.'" And the story concludes with this observation: "And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king, because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to render justice." See, there was no biblical command to tell Solomon what to do. He couldn't look up in the manual and say, "Okay, two prostitutes come, they got one back, what do I do?" He didn't have that. Therefore, wisdom must go beyond knowing and doing the Word of God. It must include a sensitivity. It must include mature judgment and a discernment of how the fear of the Lord should work itself out in this circumstance or that circumstance. Paul calls it the renewing of the mind in Romans chapter 12, which is then able to examine and approve the will of God. We need our minds renewed. He calls this spiritual wisdom in Colossians chapter 1. He says this in verse 9: "We have not ceased to pray for you that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." And of course, the wisdom which follows God's word and the wisdom which discerns the way to act. There's no clear word from God. These things are not separate. It's precisely by saturating our minds and hearts with God's word that we will gain spiritual wisdom. So when the Bible says, "Get wisdom," in Proverbs, it begins with the fear of the Lord and consists in humbly hearing and doing God's will, perceived both in Scripture and in the unique circumstances of the moment, just like Solomon. And it's essential. It's essential because the person who finds it, the Bible tells us, finds life and finds joy. But the person who doesn't find it finds death and misery. And so turn to your neighbor again. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. But our second question here, why is it important to get wisdom? See, Proverbs 3:13 says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gets understanding." And then the other scripture we read in Proverbs 24, that there will be a future and your hope. So why is it important? In other words, by means of wisdom, you can make your way into a hope-filled future. Wisdom will do that for you. Matters. I love this scripture, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 8. "He who gets wisdom loves himself." So in other words, do yourself a favor. He who gets wisdom loves himself. So if you don't get wisdom, what does that mean? you don't love yourself. So do yourself a favor. Get wisdom. And Proverbs chapter 8, listen to this, it sums it up beautifully. And here, wisdom herself is speaking. Wisdom is speaking here in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32. And now, my sons, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways. Happy is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who misses me injures himself. And all who hate me love death. If we do not make our aim to get wisdom, we will suffer injury and finally death. Therefore, the command, get wisdom. Proverbs 16 and verse 16. To get wisdom is, we had the silver and gold. But listen to what this says. To get wisdom is better than gold. To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. So we can use the comparison again. No matter how much gold you have, wisdom is more important. And it's more valuable. Proverbs chapter 15 and 21 says, folly is a joy to him who has no sense. Now let me just develop this for a moment before we go on. See, our thirst for happiness is insatiable in this world. See, everything that we do is geared to where I want to be happy. I want to be happy. And if we do not have the wisdom to seek it in God, we will find whatever substitutes we can in this world. Don't worry. Be happy. Do, 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 do. Thank you, Rick. But see, that's the whole journey of life. That's the whole impetus for most people's lives. I got to be happy. I got to prepare so that when I get older, I'll be happy. And we do everything to be happy. But we seek it in all the wrong places. Sounds like another song. But listen. We always have to look at the headlines today. Terrorists find their happiness in shooting presidents and popes. Or flying an airplane into the World Trade Center. Executives find it in climbing the corporate ladder. Athletes in breaking world records. If I can only do that, then I'll be happy. And we know the shattered stories of many of these athletes. And they gained all the glory, but ended up in despair because it didn't really satisfy. Scholars may find it in publishing books. Gamblers may find it in Reno or Vegas. Musicians may find it in if I only sell a million records, then that'll do it. And we only need to look at the checkered history and the checkered result of many of those who sought the fulfillment and the happiness in that. And the sources where people seek happiness apart from God are numerous. Whether it's alcohol or drugs or sex or suntans. That's okay. If you go to the tanning studio, that's okay. Television. Sport. Eating. Talking. Walking. I mean, you can name any of them. But we try to find fulfillment and happiness in those things. But the happiness that these things bring is not true, and it's not lasting. It is not ultimate, and it is not eternal. It is not the joy for which we have been made. And it leaves us unsatisfied. It leaves us frustrated. It leaves us incomplete, knowing there must be something more. How many have said those words? There's got to be more. There's got to be more. The ultimate and eternal happiness we crave is only found by wisdom. And it's supremely important if you want happiness, turn to your neighbor, get wisdom. Get wisdom. So how can we find? It's our third point here. How can we find the wisdom we need? We believe we need to look beyond ourselves. Every one of us needs access to an ability and a perspective beyond ourselves. Bilbo, in The Lord of the Rings, he needed Gandalf's greater wisdom and instruction. And we need mentors like that. We need people who can help us to get that wisdom. Wisdom is found, we said earlier, when we live life with the grain and not against it. In other words, with the grain, another word for that is God's way. Life is most fulfilled when we find what His plan is for us. I know, Jeremiah says, the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. Plans for your welfare and your good. We are God's workmanship, created to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. I want you to say that. I want you to say it this way. I am God's workmanship. Can you say that? I am God's workmanship, to do created to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for me to do. So how do we find this wisdom? From the one who knows the plans He has for us. And there's some things that we can learn. First of all, desire wisdom with all your might. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you for your embrace." I love you, wisdom. These are not cheap words. See, because to prize something and to embrace someone are in signs of intense desire and love. See, listen, this doesn't cut it anymore. Bye, dear. See, that's not showing that I prize my wife. That's not showing that I desire my wife. You got to embrace her. And that's how it is with wisdom. Wisdom must be valuable for us. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "Seek it like silver. Search for it as if it's hidden treasure." And I guarantee you, you will be just like that guy who found the treasure in the field. If you can grab hold of this, you will dig and you will dig and you will dig and you will do whatever it takes to get it if you can understand and place a value on what God is saying here. I heard this said one time by a person at a graduation ceremony. "Blessed is the graduate who walks through the commencement line more hungry for wisdom than when he entered school, for he shall be satisfied." So we need to desire it. Secondly, we need to realize that wisdom is found in the Word of God. We must apply ourselves in study and meditation to know the Word. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." You know, I still don't read it enough. And yet it tells me, if my soul is unrevived, how can I revive it? "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." We have to devote ourselves to know and understand the testimonies of the Lord. Thirdly, how do we get wisdom? We pray. Solomon was not born a wise man. He prayed for wisdom, and God said, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, now I do according to your word. Daniel, we need to only look through the history of Daniel saying, he says, O God of my fathers, to thee I give thanks and praise, for thou hast given me wisdom and strength, and hast made known to me what we asked of thee. We have seen how Paul prayed to the churches. He prayed for the churches that they might be given spiritual wisdom, that they might have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, it says in Ephesians. And finally, James puts it as clearly as anything. He says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. The wisdom that leads to true and lasting joy and happiness is not natural. And it's not inborn. It is supernatural. Wisdom that we're talking about is supernatural. You know, and I just want to encourage you, go keep going after the supernatural, but realize that wisdom is supernatural. It's a gift of God. And therefore, if we want to get wisdom, we must pray. Now here's an interesting one, fourthly. Listen to this for a second. A fourth and how we can get wisdom. Think frequently of your death. And everybody looks at me like, duh, what? Or to put it another way, think of the shortness of this life and the infinite length of the next life. See, Psalm 90 and verse 12 says this, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. There are not many thoughts that will take away our priorities of a vain and worldly perceptions like the thought of our imminent death. And how refreshing, or rather, maybe it's how sobering is it to ponder the kind of life we would like to look back on when we come to die. See, there's great wisdom in thinking about that, because it may cause us to change our course even later in life. And finally, there's one last and important and the absolute essential thing to do if you're going to get wisdom. You must come to Jesus. He said to the people of his day, this is what Jesus said, listen. The queen of the south will arise at judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. That was in Matthew chapter 12. I mean, what an understatement. Greater than Solomon. Solomon spoke God's wisdom. But Jesus is the wisdom of God. I want you to contemplate this just for a moment in closing. Listen, others have spoken truth, but he is the truth. Others have pointed the way, but he is the way and the life. Others have given promises, but all the promises of God find their yes and amen in him. Others have offered God's forgiveness, but Jesus bought it for us by his death, as we were reminded this morning. Therefore, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Unashamedly, I want to say, to know and love and follow Jesus is to own the treasure of ultimate and eternal happiness and wisdom. See, therefore, the command, get wisdom, means first and foremost, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom. See, wisdom, the way to live life is meant to be lived, and it's found in the life manual that was made available to us from the principles that Jesus, the greatest and most effective teacher in history, taught to his students. His teachings have been applied all the way through history, throughout the world, by millions of people for the last 2,000 years. And Paul wrote, for that reason, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in him. When we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus' wisdom addressed us how to be a successful learner. The issue is the quality of the teacher and the heart and the vision of the learner and his relationship with his heavenly Father, from which he directed his life choices, was the source of his wisdom. Turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I just want you to see these scriptures. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." That's our model. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. And this is our model. He was a successful learner. And he was a successful teacher because he kept it in perspective. And verse 30, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." He taught us how to be a successful learner. If you want to be wisdom, follow the example of Jesus. "I only do what I hear my Father telling me to do." His wisdom addressed how to be a confident individual, placing our confidence in God, who made us so that our confidence is not arrogance, but humility. And we already said, humility is a key ingredient of wisdom. Let me give you a quote from a Greek poet by the name of Cicero. Here's what he said. "Many could have attained wisdom if they had not thought they already had it." That's very, very profound. His wisdom, the wisdom of Jesus, addressed how to be a responsible citizen with respect to authority, the desire for one's community rather than love for oneself. And we see various expressions of it, even last night where many, many people were out on the streets walking to support the Upper Room mission. They're not concerned about themselves. But his wisdom addressed how to be a responsible citizen. His example was the key for the learners. And wisdom is found from the Word of God about being a responsible. He addressed the ethical and the practical issues of honesty, being a responsible citizen, being a good employer, being a good employee, business principles, stewardship of money, how to have healthy relationships, forgiveness, care and consideration for neighbors and property, respect for governing authorities and law, care for the children, care for the elderly, care for the vulnerable, and our responsibility to the poor, just to name a few. And he showed us that's why all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Jesus Christ. No wonder he tells us to go and be his witnesses. We were talking about this the other night. But listen, if we would get the wisdom that is found in him, we would be the most effective people when it comes to evangelism and outreach. And may I encourage you to conduct an open and an unbiased search of the truths that are found in here. A willingness to try them out. If you're not trying them out and applying them, give it a go. In daily life, in education, in your life pursuits. Because Jesus said, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. And lastly, the fruit of wisdom. Wisdom is proved by its fruits. Often so-called wisdom in the world is rooted in selfish ego, it's rooted in selfish ambition or selfish, self-promotional things. But that wisdom is short-lived and it's hollow and it's shallow. So often the experts to whom the world looks are disqualified by the fruits of their lives. There's author Paul Johnson, he writes in his book, The Intellectuals. He exposes the appalling records of so many so-called experts, even for those of you that are educationalists like Rousseau, who abandoned all his illegitimate children and is now regarded as a source of wisdom for the raising of children and the training of leaders. There's something more that God has for us. Wisdom derived from faith in God does not deny that there are wisdom learned by experience and by practicing all sorts of skill without religious faith. I'm not saying that we have the market on wisdom, because we don't. But if there is a God of greater intelligence, it makes sense to learn wisdom from him. Why not ask him? It will take humility, it'll take searching, and it'll take a willingness to practice and test. We all need true wisdom. This is what it says in the Message in Job 32. If God's Spirit is in a person, the breath of the Almighty One that makes wise human insight possible, the experts have no corner on wisdom. We must pray for men and women to carry Jesus, in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, into the places of government, and to allow Jesus to speak to the chaos that we see socially, economically, and individually. God has raised up leaders of integrity in our past history, and he wants his voice to be heard in all parts of society. And I want to challenge you, personally to you, expect his wisdom in your area of influence. He knows everything, and he will give to those who see their need and ask for his resources. It's amazing what he can do if we ask. You have not because you ask not. I want to challenge us to pray today for God to impact leaders and for the voice of wisdom to be heard even in our land. I want you to pray for yourself that you would speak wisdom and live wisdom starting today. God is wisdom for us in Jesus Christ, and this wisdom should be our priority in life. And it's made available through an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. We must have the heart attitude of the fear of the Lord and recognize the danger of being wise in our own eyes. True wisdom is found in the Spirit of God, and it can only be properly used by us being in relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And let me just close with a couple of quotes. Chuck Colson said this. He said, "Mere knowledge is not enough to undercut the evil in the human heart. Simply knowing what is right doesn't enable us to do right." Another one said that wisdom, like everything else of value, is not to be obtained easily. It must be worked for, studied for, thought for, and more than all, must be prayed for. A fellow by the name of Walter Hinton said this, "By itself, knowledge is like water, tasteless and cold. But if those who have it will offer it humbly to our Lord and ask for his grace, he will turn the water into wine for his blessing. Charles Spurgeon said this, "I cannot agree with those who say they have new truth to teach. The two words seem to me to contradict each other. That which is new is not true. It is the old that is true. For truth is as old as God himself." And lastly, a Spanish proverb for you. Men can acquire knowledge, but not wisdom. Some of the greatest fools ever known were learned men. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that you were the source and the dependency of your Son when he is here on earth being an example to us. He sought you in every way. Lord, even when he was feeding the 5,000, Lord, he took it and he presented to you. And Lord, I don't think he was following a ritual. He was saying, "Father, how do you want me to do this?" And you showed him. Because you are the source of wisdom. And now Jesus Christ, in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Lord, thank you for your example to us. Help us, Lord, to get wisdom. Help us to value this more than gold and silver. Help us to know what it means to embrace you. And help us, Lord, daily, in our circle of influence, in our spheres of influence, Lord, help us and keep us from walking out in pride that would say, "I know it all, I know exactly what to do.